Welcome to an original musical production for the Easter season, The Disciple Whom Jesus Loves, a multi-part story of the light that could not be overcome, told through the eyes of the one who never looked away. Brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. Part 15.
The tension that had mounted throughout the week, from the crowd's fickle adoration on the first day to the growing threat from the Sanhedrin, culminated in the somber intimacy of the meal we would come to call the Last Supper, during which Jesus foretold his betrayal and death. After the meal, we all walked to the Garden of Gethsemane, a place of quiet refuge, where Jesus wanted to go and pray. He asked three of us, James, John, and me, to draw closer to him. And then he fell to his knees, then to his face on the ground.
Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup from me, this cup of suffering, this cup of death. Is there no other way? Must it be blood that redeems? The weight of sin upon my shoulders presses me into the dust. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is so weak. Before me darkens, but I will walk where you lead.
Jesus returned to where we were. He had asked us to watch with him, but all three of us had fallen asleep. He roused Simon Peter.
Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation.
Jesus returned again to find all of us sleeping. This time, he didn't wake us but looked at us with compassion mixed with resignation. He returned to prayer once more.
Not my will, but yours be done. Father, glorify your name through what I am about to suffer. Broken body, my poured out blood. I lay down my life willingly. No one takes it from me. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. Yet not my will. Done.
Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come.
We awoke, confused and ashamed. Suddenly, there was a sound of approaching footsteps, and we could see torches visible in the distance. Jesus stood calmly, facing the direction of an approaching crowd.
Look, my betrayer is here.
Who is that?
It's Judas.
And he's leading a group of temple guards and soldiers.
James, get the other disciples.
Rabbi, there you are.
Judas kissed Jesus on the cheek. The Lord looked at him with sadness rather than anger.
Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?
Jesus stepped forward to address the armed group.
Who is it you want?
Jesus of Nazareth.
I am he.
At these words, the guards and soldiers involuntarily stepped back, some even falling to the ground. After a moment, the guards recovered.
Again, who is it you want?
Jesus of Nazareth.
I told you that I am he. If you are looking for me, then let these men go.
Peter suddenly drew a sword and struck at a servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Jesus stepped forward quickly, touching the man's ear and healing it. He then turned to Peter.
Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?
The guards moved forward to seize Jesus. The disciples, seeing that he would not resist, began to flee in different directions. I hesitated, torn between loyalty and fear.
He's not resisting.
Remember what I told you. This must happen. Remember and bear witness.
I backed away reluctantly as Jesus was bound. Most disciples fled, but Peter and I remained at a distance, following as Jesus was led away.
He could have stopped this. One word, and they all fell to the ground. Why did he let them take him?
He spoke of a cup, of drinking the cup his Father has given him.
I will not abandon him. I promised I would die with him if necessary.
Neither will I leave him.
We made brave promises that night, Peter and I. Yet within hours, Peter would deny knowing him 3 times. And I would run away at first. And when I finally caught up with him, I was unable to help. In Gethsemane, I witnessed his struggle. The very human fear of suffering, warring with his divine purpose. He chose to drink the cup. He chose the path of sacrifice. And in that garden, as they led him away bound, the long prophesied passion of the Messiah began to unfold. They led him first to Annas, father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Annas had been high priest years earlier and still wielded considerable influence. I did not follow him there, but I heard what happened.
Tell me about your disciples and your teaching.
I have spoken openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues or at the temple, where all the Jews come together. I said nothing in secret. Why question me? Ask those who heard me. Surely they know what I said.
Is there any way to answer the esteemed Annas?
If I said something wrong, testify as to what is wrong. But if I spoke the truth, why did you strike me?
He is remarkably composed.
Take him to Caiaphas.
I caught up with him later as they transferred him to the home of the high priest.
The man they brought in. I need to see what happens to him.
You're one of the regular visitors to the temple. I've seen you before. Go ahead.
And my friend as well, please.
I got close to the upper room where Caiaphas was interrogating Jesus, but I was unable to hear what was going on. Peter stayed in the courtyard.
You there? Yeah, one of this man's disciples too.
I am not.
The Sanhedrin was the supreme Jewish council of elders, priests, and scribes that served as both a religious and legal authority for our people. They met in the chamber of hewn stone in the temple. However, on this night, the high priest called for them to meet at his home for an illegal nighttime trial. When they gathered in Caiaphas's audience chamber, I was there.
Have you no answer? What is this testimony that these men bring against you?
He remained silent.
I charge you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God.
You have said so, but I say to all of you, from now on you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven.
Caiaphas tore his robes in a show of outrage.
He has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look, now you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?
He is worthy of death.
Some members of the Sanhedrin moved forward and began to spit on Jesus. Some blindfolded him and struck him with their fists.
The law is clear. The charge is grave. This man must fall to save the faith.
Meanwhile, outside.
You also were with Jesus of Galilee.
I don't know the man.
Didn't I see you with him in the olive grove?
I swear to you, I don't know the man.
At that moment, Jesus was being led across the courtyard. He turned and looked directly at Peter. Peter's face crumbled in shame and realization. He rushed out, weeping bitterly.
I swore I'd stand. I drew my sword. I'd die for him, my only Lord. But in the dark, my courage fled. Three times I lied, just as he said. The firelight danced upon my shame. Each question burned. Each face, each name. And when that rooster crowed, oh my, I met his gaze and wished to die. No chains had bound me yet. I fell trapped in the prison of myself. Oh Lord, I failed, I wept, I ran, still haunted by the Son of Man.
While the initial questioning and informal proceedings occurred during the night at the private residence of Caiaphas, the high priest, Jewish law required capital cases to be confirmed in daylight. Therefore, at daybreak, the Sanhedrin reconvened in the more legitimate, formal setting of the temple to render an official verdict before sending Jesus to Pontius Pilate.
Are you the king of the Jews?
Is that your own idea, or did others talk to you about me?
Am I a Jew? Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done?
My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest. But now my kingdom is from another place.
They call you a king, yet you wear no crown. They cry for your death, yet you don't stand down. You speak of a kingdom the world cannot see. What kind of power can that possibly be? I came to bear witness to truth that endures, to light in the darkness, to love that is pure. All who belong to the truth, hear my voice. You must decide. You still have a choice. What is truth? What is truth? A phantom in the night. A fleeting dream that fades with morning's light. I've seen too much to trust a whispered word, and yet your silence strangely is preferred. In this place where courage passion rules the day, and Rome crushes all who seek a different way. What is truth? I am truth. What is truth?
I am the way. I am the life. I am the truth.
Pilate exited his judgment hall to address the Jewish leaders outside.
If you let him go, you are no friend of Caesar. He makes himself a king.
I find no guilt in him. I will have him flogged.
Each lash upon my shoulders, each thorn pressed in my brow, the weight of sin upon me, the price of life revealed. Soon all will be accomplished. The veil will soon be torn, the way to God wide open, through what I now endure. Like a silent lamb to slaughter, I give myself for them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
When Pilate learned that Jesus was a Galilean and therefore under Herod Antipas's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was in Jerusalem for the Passover. Antipas, the Roman-appointed tetrarch of Galilee and Perea, was the son of Herod the Great, the one who had tried to kill Jesus as a baby. Herod had long wanted to see Jesus, hoping to witness a miracle, but Jesus refused to answer his many questions. Despite the chief priests and scribes vehemently accusing him, Jesus remained silent. Frustrated and mocking him, Herod and his soldiers dressed Jesus in an elegant robe, perhaps to ridicule his supposed kingship, and sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate, who had previously been at odds, became friends.
Shall I release to you the King of the Jews?
Give us Barabbas, give him to us. This Jesus of Nazareth is more dangerous. Give us the zealot, give us the thief. Better a rebel we know than a king we don't need.
Take him. Do with him what you will.
Jesus was brought out on the palace balcony. Wearing a crown of thorns and the purple robe from Herod, Pilate presented him to the crowd.
Behold the man.
The crowd continued to demand crucifixion. Pilate argued briefly, then called for water. He washed his hands.
I am innocent of this man's blood. It is your responsibility. Take him to be crucified.
The mockery of justice that night and into the morning haunts me still. Pilate knew Jesus was innocent. Even his wife had been warned in a dream. Yet he lacked the courage to stand against the crowd. And we, his followers, Peter denied him. The others fled. I stayed and watched, but did nothing to help him. Only the women showed true courage. As they led him away to be crucified, his mother Mary drew me to her side. I tried to. There was nothing. I couldn't.
We will follow him to the end. He must not be alone.
The Roman soldiers led Jesus away to be crucified. Already weakened from the scourging, he was forced to carry his own cross. The heavy wooden beam dug into his raw shoulders as he stumbled through the crowded streets of Jerusalem. The procession moved slowly, surrounded by jeering spectators, curious onlookers, and a few silent mourners. After some time, Jesus turned to the women who wept for him.
Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the days are coming when people will say, blessed are the barren, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed. For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?
As he staggered on, his strength gave out beneath the crushing weight of the cross. The soldiers, impatient with his pace, feared he might not make it to Golgotha alive. So they seized a man coming in from the countryside, Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus, and forced him to carry the cross behind Jesus.
He was just a man, a wayfaring stranger, walking down that dusty road. Didn't know that day he'd be called by name to help the Savior bear his load. The soldiers pressed him, he couldn't run. But grace was written in that way, to walk behind the Son of God and touch redemptive faith. Carry his cross through the sorrow and the shame. Carry his cross through the fire and the rain. When the burden feels too heavy and you're lost and alone, remember the road that leads to the throne. Carry his cross. He carried yours, now carry fell on Simon's skin, but a deeper truth took hold. He wasn't just lifting a wooden beam, he was standing where love unfolds. For every heart that's been redeemed and every soul set free, the call still echoes through the years. Take up your cross and follow me. Carry his cross through the trials and the tests. Carry his cross through the pain and unrest. When the road is steep and your strength is gone, his love will carry you on and on. Carry his cross, he carried yours. Don't hide, stand tall and true. Take up the cross, walk with Christ. His work on earth can flow through you. Carry his cross, let the world see his grace. Carry his cross till we see his face. With every step
Here's your throne, King of the Jews.
Hold still now.
John, I can't watch.
Raise it.
Four soldiers strained to lift the cross upright. It dropped with a sickening thud into a prepared hole. Jesus' body jerked violently at the impact. Blood streamed from his wounds. Two thieves hung on crosses to either side.
Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Oh, my son. My dear son.
A Roman official arrived with a wooden placard and nailed it above Jesus' head. It bore these words, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, in three languages.
Do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be King of the Jews.
What I have written, I have written.
The soldiers below the cross began dividing Jesus' garments.
This tunic is woven in one piece. Let's not tear it, we'll cast lots for it.
You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself.
He saved others, but he cannot save himself.
Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us too while you're at it.
Don't you fear God. We deserve our punishment. But this man has done nothing wrong. Jesus, please remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Truly, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise.
Then Jesus looked at his mother standing beside me.
Woman, behold your son. John, behold your mother.
Around Mary's shoulders protectively. Then suddenly the sky began to darken, though it was only midday.
What's happening to the sun?
Hours passed. The sky had now grown black as night. Many fled the unnatural darkness. Jesus' suffering intensified.
Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?
He's calling for Elijah.
No, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?
John, he struggles to breathe. And his lips are cracked and bleeding.
Heaven's light recedes from sight as darkness shrouds this barren hill. The sun alone, with flesh and bone, bears sins beyond our reckoning still. The crowd once loud, now hushed they wait by shadows cast. Forsaken,
I thirst.
A soldier dipped a sponge in a jar of sour wine vinegar and lifted it on a hyssop branch to Jesus' lips. After moistening his mouth, Jesus looked skyward. A subtle change came over his face. Not peace exactly, but purpose.
It is finished.
He paused, then with unexpected strength called out,
Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.
Jesus' head fell forward. At that moment, a deep rumble shook the ground. People stumbled and fell. Rocks split. The massive temple curtain tore from top to bottom. The centurion standing guard grabbed a post to steady himself and looked up at Jesus with dawning awe.
Surely this man was the Son of God.
The remaining crowd scattered in terror at the earthquake. Only a small group of us remained. About a half hour later, a group of soldiers approached the crosses to check if the condemned men were dead.
Break their legs to speed their deaths.
They broke the legs of the two thieves. But when they came to Jesus, they saw he was already dead.
This one's already gone.
Instead of breaking Jesus' legs, a soldier pierced his side with a spear. Blood and water flowed out. Meanwhile, outside Pilate's headquarters, Joseph of Arimathea, a wealthy member of the Sanhedrin who secretly followed Jesus, stood before the procurator.
Governor, I request permission to take the body of Jesus for burial before the Sabbath begins.
Is he dead already? Can you confirm this?
I've gotten word from the guards. He is dead.
You may take the body.
Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, another secret follower from the Sanhedrin, carefully removed Jesus' body from the cross. Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, several other women, and I watched nearby.
I've brought myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds.
They began to wrap Jesus' body in linen strips with the spices, according to our burial customs.
I have a new tomb nearby, never used. We will place him there.
Remember what he said about the temple being destroyed and raised in 3 days?
He was speaking of his body. They carried Jesus' wrapped body to a garden tomb cut into rock. Carefully, they laid him inside on a stone shelf. Joseph and his servants rolled a large stone across the entrance.
We will return after the Sabbath to properly anoint him.
They reluctantly departed as the last light faded, leaving the sealed tomb in silence.
Tears fall like rain on this darkened hill, as hope seems buried beneath the storm. The dreams we carried now lying still, and faith feels broken and all alone. But listen closely,
voices appear to fail. But what looks finished is just the way for greater glory to unveil. Hold on to hope through the longest night. It's
every ending, a new beginning. Every sunset leads to dawn. What seems lost forever.
To be continued.